Professor Kathleen Daly is from the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Griffith University. She's studied 19 cases all up. In Canada, she looked at the inquiries into the abuse of children in orphanages, schools and other institutions run by the church and state. She also examined the inquiries into Australia's Stolen Generation, the Forgotten Australians, the Mulligan Inquiry in South Australia and the Ford Inquiry in Queensland.
The experiences of abuse in the institutions is rather similar. I mean, being in an institution creates a particular set of problems and risks of victimization. So that's really quite striking. I guess the second take-home message is that we know a lot. In fact, we know more than anyone really wants to know about the phenomenon. There's been countless reports, countless recommendations about what should be done. We actually don't need another report and more recommendations. They will all be the same, because they are all the same.
Does that undermine the very purpose of these inquiries?
No, because the purpose of the inquiry is political. It's partly forensic and it's partly political, isn't it? I mean, it's partly to address unfinished business of really bringing to the fore a problem. But there's a very good researcher in Belfast whose work I've been following on this, and she says that the problem with it and other inquiries in the Republic, for example, is that they're good at identifying exemplary stories, but they don't really get at the systematic reasons for the abuse. We don't see the broader systemic reasons that the situation emerges in the first place.
In Canada, the very first Royal Commission into sexual abuse in an institution was held in 1989 into the Mount Cashel Orphanage. Professor Daly says this inquiry was a significant turning point.
With the televising of the inquiry's proceedings, many people became aware of what was going on. So it had these kind of ripple effects across other victim survivors in Canada who had been in other institutions. So, for example, in another major case, the St. John's and St. Joseph's case in Ontario, the leading victim survivor involved in moving that case into the public arena heard those proceedings on television one night. He called the counsel working for the commission, and he said, and he's calling from Ontario, "Can I talk about my experiences?" He says. He says, "No, because this is Newfoundland. But call the police." But he ends up calling a journalist, and of course the journalist brings the story with, you know, getting a freedom of information stuff. Also, the Indian residential school case, which is a very important case, cited what was going on with the civil activity at Mount Cashel as a very important spark for moving forward on seeking redress for Indian residential school abuses. And then I mentioned the child migrant case, where there's the Boys of St. Vincent movie that's about Mount Cashel. It gets televised in Australia, and this guy says, well, it could be Bindoon. It could be Western Australia. So these connections are quite amazing.
Despite the multiple inquiries since, very little is known about how survivors felt afterwards.
There's really not that much evidence. Look, we have no evidence from Australia at all. I don't know about people's experiences with the Ford Inquiry. I don't know about people's experiences going through the Tasmanian Stolen Generations payment scheme, which looked like a very good scheme, and also the Tasmanian institution scheme. They really spent a lot of care. We're missing an opportunity to learn.
Professor Daly says her research revealed the redress systems in Canada were more comprehensive,
in which you have not only payments being made, but also supports for vocational and educational training, medical and dental, other kinds of funds that could be drawn upon and so forth. Whereas in Australia, we have the two redress schemes. That's about it, and plus counseling and redress WA and the Tasmanian Stolen Generations. The Tasmanian case did have a broader package of benefits, and if you look at the Ford Inquiry, all of what happened there was quite grudging. Inquiry, the Ford Foundation Trust was pretty minimal amount of money for things, for people, and then very grudgingly they came to the ex gratia payment. So why that is, I think, is that in Canada there was a movement for a while to develop packages and what they call reconciliation agreements and so forth that were negotiated between lawyers for victims and those for the government, and I just don't see that activity going on here as much.
But there were some other shared benefits for survivors in both Australia and Canada.
If you look at currently now, the 9 or 10 years on from the Child Migrant Inquiry or the Forgotten Children Inquiry, you'll see that one of the real positive responses is that the victims and survivors have come to know each other, they form support groups, they become more aware that they're not alone. If people suffer victimization as a collectivity, you don't feel individually responsible for it. You see it as part of a bigger problem, and I think that's a very important aspect of some of the group activity that occurs.
In Canada, civil suits over historical abuse continue to this day, even though many of the institutions in question were either wound up or taken over by the government.
So some of the cases did involve, once the government took liability for the settlement, the government chasing after the church. That's what happened in Mount Cashel.
Successfully?
Yes, and they're still chasing after and getting more money.
Professor Daly delivered her findings for the first time at a forum at Sydney University's Law School. She says lawyers working for Australia's Royal Commission need to be aware of such research in order to build an effective justice response. Rather than simply asking people if they were satisfied, Professor Daly has come up with 5 criteria for justice: participation, voice, validation, vindication, and offender accountability.
Each justice mechanism can do certain things and not do other things. There's not one that can do all of it. That's what I'm trying to let people know. So a public inquiry, at least potentially, has great opportunity for validation and voice, potentially.
But for vindication.
Vindication, there's no mechanism of vindication in the inquiry, really. It's not designed to be a place where people are arrested, and I mean, if there's a problem, it gets sent over to another body to investigate. They're not going to be involved in investigating complaints. What we need to think of in terms of justice activities is to think of different types of justice mechanisms that can achieve different types of things, and not to assume that, you know, one can do it all.